This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, Sheikh, yeah, I always wonder, in different cultures, they all seem to have very similar stories when they teach certain morals. And I came across this story from China, Imperial China, from centuries ago. And it has a similar vibes that we've learned before, but it's a very nice story anyway. So, I mean, the story goes like this, that there was an emperor who was looking for an heir to his for his throne. He didn't have any descendants, and he needed to get an heir. So he set a challenge to his people. And he handed out seeds, to his people. And he said, anyone who comes back in a year's time with the most beautiful flower from these seeds, I'll grant them my throne.
Yeah.
So all the people took it excitedly and were on their way to make sure that seed they planted grew to be the best flower they can have. There was a little kid, his name was Li, and he really and his parents, they desperately wanted, to become the heir, become the emperor of the throne. So he went away, planted the seed, did everything he needed to do, watered it, but nothing happened. And all his friends and people around him, their plants were growing nicely and so forth, and some were beautiful, and his just seemed to be a barren piece of soil, nothing was coming. And a year comes down, and they have to go present their flowers to the emperor. And Li looks at his, he did everything he could.
Nothing happened.
And it was just a empty pot. The soil had gone dry and just nothing there. And the people were laughing at him, saying, you're going to go to the emperor with this pot. There's nothing there. But his father said to him, no, you tried your best. And that's enough.
Present it.
Yeah, mashallah, his father's really noble person, looked at his son's effort and said, go ahead. So they went to the emperor's palace along with all the people, and they all presented their flowers, and they saw all around them all these pots with beautiful flowers in them. Yeah, and then they saw this empty pot, and people were laughing. And the emperor, he goes and inspects all the flowers. And each time he's inspecting, he's getting angry. He's getting angry and angry and angry. He's not happy.
He's not content.
And he goes, and he looks. Everybody says that, how did you grow these flowers? Because the seeds we handed out, we had cooked them.
Right.
So they were unable to grow into anything.
Right.
So where did you get these flowers from?
They were lies.
Yeah, they had lied. They'd got seeds from somewhere else. And then he saw Lee's pot and it was empty. So what happened? He said, it didn't grow. I tried my best. And he said, for you is my throne.
Wow.
Because you are the honest person here, and you tried your best, and even then you came here without any shame and said, this is what I could do.
Yeah.
So for you is my throne. And I thought that was a beautiful story.
Amazing. Moral of the story, lying leads to
failure.
This actually echoes a very famous principle in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَقَدْ خَابَ بَنِ افْتَرَى, and he who lies has failed. This Quranic principle was related in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mighty Prophet Musa alayhi salam in his mission against the Pharaoh. He spent, as you know, a lifetime inventing lies about members of his community to demean them and construing lies around his own petty self to exalt it. So as the principle promises, in the case of every inventor of every lie, failure must follow. When he saw the miraculous signs of Prophet Musa, the Pharaoh only descended into more arrogance and scheming. And he insisted that a challenge was necessary. Prophet Musa accepted, on condition that it's public. So he said, مَوْعِدُكُمْ يَوْمُ الزِّينَةِ وَأَنْ يُحْشَرَ النَّاسُ ضُحَى. Your appointment is on the day of festivity, when the people will assemble at forenoon. It's got to be a public debate. فَتَوَلَّى فِرْعَوْنُ فَجَمَعَ كَيْدَهُ ثُمَّ أَتَى, Allah said. So Pharaoh went away, put together his plan, then he came back. Musa, he says to them, وَيْلَكُمْ, woe to you. لَا تَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا فَيُسْحِتَكُمْ بِعَذَابٍ. Don't invent a lie against Allah, otherwise he will exterminate you with a punishment. And then he said what? وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ افْتَرَى, and he who lies has failed. So that's the context. But it's a generic, timeless principle. And it just gives so much solace and soothing and ease to the hearts of those who've been lied against, whilst also warning the liars that even if, say, governmental policy or societal standards stand with them, in the interim, failure is rapidly advancing towards them with an imminent collision, if not ratified. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he said that, ضمن الله سبحانه وتعالى أنه لابد أن يخيب أهل الافتراء ولا يهديهم وأنه يسحتهم بعذابه. Allah has guaranteed that the people of lying must fail, and that He will not guide them, but He will uproot them. So what are the types of lies which this principle that promises failure for liars encompasses? What types of lies does it encompass? I mean, I'll mention two. It's to forge a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worst of all lying. And examples of this include people who dare to issue Islamic verdicts without being trained, licensed to do so. Allah said, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبُ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبُ. Don't falsely declare with your tongues, this is lawful and this is unlawful, to fabricate lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Imam Malik, he answered a questioner with, I don't know. The questioner said, no, no, answer. He's trying to encourage him, answer. He said, يعني مسألة خفيفة, it's just a light matter. This made Imam Malik angry. He said, ليس في العلم شيء خفيف. There's no aspect of knowledge that's quote-unquote light. Have you not heard Allah say in the Qur'an, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. We're going to send down upon you a heavy word. The Qur'an is heavy. There's nothing about the religion that's light. And Imam Malik would say that whoever wishes to give an answer to every question, or whoever wishes to give an answer to a question, he has to first present himself to paradise and hell. To ask himself the question, will this answer save me? If the answer is yes, then and only then he should give the answer. So they were not afraid of saying, I don't know, because they recognized that not doing so is a lie on behalf of Allah, and is in fact a signature on behalf of Allah and His Messenger. So realize that your opinions, your lectures, your posts, your comments, if they were not the product of deep understanding and grounded knowledge and ikhlas, sincerity, it's a forged signature. So that's a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example of lying and how failure must follow is to lie against the people. Lying against Allah, we mentioned that, and lying against the people. People's motives for giving intentionally false information varies from person to person. Some people, they do it for fame, because they know this is how to bring about viewership. They know that hype and sensationalism sells. Some people lie against others for a financial return. Some people do it because of a dispute with a colleague at work to protect a position. Some people do it because of envy. Some people do it against family members to save face. Others do it against an ex-spouse to maximize harm, whether that's financial harm, reputational harm, or in child custody proceedings. Whatever the reason may be, the Quranic principle is a generic one. And it spells out an identical outcome each and every time. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنِ افْتَرَى. He who has lied has failed. A true life story, a contemporary one, about a young man by the name of Ahmed. He narrates his own bitter experience with this Quranic principle that he did not honor. He said that during my teens, I fell out with another high-performing secondary school student, so I decided to destroy his future. I arrived early on one morning. I had with me a bundle of weed, and it was with me in my bag, and it was something that me and my friends, we used to take. On this day, I decided to place it inside the bag of that student, and then I told my friends to call the police because there's a drug dealer on site. And it all went to plan. From that day on, I have suffered incessantly, he said, due to my injustice. He said, 2 years ago, I was involved in a car crash. that costed me my right arm. I rushed to the house of the student. I begged for his forgiveness. He refused. He said that I had permanently damaged his reputation amidst his family, and he has become a complete outcast. And he told me that he is praying for my destruction every night without fail, because he lost everything because of me. And there are no veils between the prayer of the oppressed one and Allah. Allah has answered his prayers. And then he goes on to say, I then was involved in a second car crash. So now that I had lost my right arm, I'm now also paralyzed. I'm sat in a permanent wheelchair. And despite my miserable life today, my greatest fear is death. Because what is it that awaits me with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Another real life story. This is a woman who narrates her experience with this Quranic principle. She was a university lecturer who had been divorced twice. She said that my story of injustice happened around 7 years ago after my second divorce. When that second marriage failed, I decided to marry a cousin of mine who was already happily married with 5 children. But to achieve this, I conspired with another cousin of mine who wanted to marry the wife of the husband I wanted. We conspired to forge a lie against the wife. We accused her of unfaithfulness to her husband. So he launched our smear campaign amidst the family. And with the passage of little time, their relationship deteriorated, fell apart, and it ended with divorce. Just a year later, the lady whom we had defamed remarried a man of high status. And as for the man I desired, he married a different woman. So both me and my cousin, who conspired with me, neither of us achieved our goal. However, we reaped something else, the bitter fruits of our lies. I have been diagnosed with leukemia, she said. And my cousin was fried to death after having made contact with an electrical wire, along with another who had provided us with false testimony to support our lies. He suffered the same fate. All of this happened just within 3 years of the incident. So how true are the words of Allah? He always speaks the truth. He said, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ افْتَرَى. And he who lies has failed.
وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلَ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ نزلناه تنزيلاً.